Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, as we look at this whole topic of hope today, you do remind us that through the storm, through whatever comes our way in life, that you are our Lord and you promise to be with us. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, and we're so thankful that we can be here this morning among fellow believers, worshiping you and, Lord, just encouraging each other and lifting each other up. We ask that you would block out maybe just a few of the distractions that we might have going on in our minds right now so that we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been looking at some of these virtues that become a part of who we are as a Christian, it just seems like, in my mind, they get harder and harder and harder. Last week was really a challenge for me. Self-control. I do fairly well with that, unless you get me at a basketball game, then it's double trouble. But you know, a lot of times, I don't know what it is, but there's something that will bring the worst out in us, and it's so hard to control or contain ourselves with what we're doing. And so hopefully this week we were able to maybe practice a little bit of self-control in some area or another in our life. But today, as we get to hope, I mean, that's a challenge as we live in this world today. We use the word hope all the time, and it was hard to draw it out of the children here this morning. What do you hope for? After kind of prying into their minds, I think that may be me, and I don't know what I'm doing. But after prying into their minds a little bit, you know, they were able to express a few things that they hoped for. But you know, we hope for a lot of things in life. I was thinking about, you know, a parent with a newborn. What do they hope for? They hope they get a good night's rest, right? You know, there's times when I do stuff outside or I'm working on a project and I've used muscles that I haven't used in a while. And when I go to bed that night, I hope that I'll be able to move in the morning, right? If you're going to take an exam of some sort, whether you've had an opportunity to study or not, you hope you make a good grade. You go to the doctor, and you hope, I'm not smiling about that, but you hope that you get a good report. Well, maybe that'll stop, I don't know. I'll just stand still. And so there's just a lot of things that we hope for in this world. And as we think of all those things that we might hope for, and as you probably have different ones that are running through your mind right now, what do they offer us? Is there really anything that hope offers us? And like I told the kids, I mean, there's some of those things that we have control over, but a lot of those things that we hope for, we absolutely have no control over whatsoever. And so as we think about hope, you know, what is it that people look to for hope as we live in this world? I don't know if you had a chance to read the chapter on hope this past week, but Randy Frazee lays out really four things, four places that people look to get that hope. And he has Bible passages. We're not going to go over all the Bible passages, but he has Bible passages in that chapter to back that up. And the first one is, people look for hope in riches, in wealth. You know, they think for some reason, and all of us are probably guilty at that at times, if I just had a little more money, I could fix this issue or I could solve that problem. But it doesn't necessarily happen that way. It seems like the more money we get, maybe the more problems that are created or there's more issues that come up that money just can't fix. The second thing that people look to are people. When I read this chapter, I read those four things and I was just oblivious, I guess, kind of to the fact of what he was trying to say. And I thought, mine's not listed because I turn to myself a lot of times. And then I thought, well, duh. I'm a people. I'm a person. And so it was listed. You know, we turn to ourselves a lot of times because we want control of everything. We want to control the outcome, or we want to make sure that something gets done the way we want it done. In challenges and circumstances in our life, we want to take over. And certainly we look to others. We may look to a spouse. We may look to a child or a parent or a grandparent. We want the problem fixed, so we turn to people for hope. But guess what? Even the most well-intentioned person, even the person that we might trust the most, can do what? Let us down. Can fail. But yet we turn to people to find hope. The third place that Randy said that we turn to for hope is in idols. Now, idols take on a totally different meaning for us today. Back during the Bible times, and I'm sure in even other countries today or other religions other than Christianity, people turn to things that they made. Carved images of things, and they turn to those for hope or for in a circumstance or for rain or for fertility. That they turn to these idols for every single thing that they could think of. We don't necessarily experience that here in America today, that sort of idol, but anything that we place above God in our lives becomes an idol for us. And so a lot of times that's going to be what for us today? It's going to be our... What was that? Phones, okay. Yeah, our phones, electronics. It could be our job. It could be sports. It could be something that we turn to try to get our minds off of things rather than turning to God Himself. And so idols become a big issue in our lives today. The fourth and final thing that Randy said we turn to was the human government. And I almost had to chuckle when I read that because I thought, really? I'm certainly not going to turn to the human government for my hope because I think we're maybe in the worst shape we've ever been in if we're looking to our government for hope. But I thought, you know what? There are thousands and thousands of people that turn to the government for hope. They turn to the government basically for everything they have, for their livelihood. They count on the human government to provide for them. Can it fail? Most certainly. And so as we think about these four things, riches, people, idols, and the human government, they all can let us down. Every single one of those. Can riches bring us healing from a terminal illness? Absolutely not. Can people take away the heartbreak of what happened this past week in Dallas where police officers lost their lives? Absolutely not. Can idols fix all of our struggles and challenges that we deal with? Can the government fix our financial issues that we may be experiencing? Absolutely not. So if all of these things that we try to turn to in the world for hope don't give us hope, where can we turn? And I think this is where our key verse for today comes in, if we can put that on the screen. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It was part of the second reading this morning. If you would say this with me, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Hebrews 6:19-20. If we think about what this is saying, Jesus becomes our anchor. Now, I know that's probably not a term we all use every single day, but back during the time when this was written, they used anchors a lot in the ships and stuff that they were out on the Mediterranean Sea with. And an anchor, I'm thinking, an anchor, well, is that really that secure? Well, it was for them. If you're out and you want to stay in one place in a ship, you drop your anchor. And that was, that was a firm and secure thing to use to keep the ship where you want it to be. I don't know why it's doing that. I'm sorry about that. But it was a sure thing. If they wanted to stay in one spot, that anchor kept them where they were. And for us today, if we want to have a secure hope, it's in Jesus Himself. It's not of the things of the world where we want to turn to, but it's actually in Jesus Himself. And I think we see a picture of this in our gospel reading today with Simeon in Luke chapter 2. I'm not even moving now. What's going on? Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 22. It said, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought," which was Mary and Joseph, "brought him," Jesus, "up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, 'A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.'" And so Mary and Joseph are going to Jerusalem to the temple according to the laws for purification and the setting apart of Jesus. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people, Israel.'" I get this picture of Simeon, not knowing for sure what is happening, what's going on, what's going to happen to him. We know the Holy Spirit was in the background working this all out. But immediately when he laid his eyes on Jesus and lifted him up in his hands, he knew. He knew that this is the Messiah. This is the promised child of God that was going to take away the sins of the world and bring all people to himself. When he put his eyes on Jesus, he immediately knew this is the hope for all people. We've experienced that same hope. We have that same hope in Jesus as our Savior. Everything else in the world is going to fade and pass away. Everything else in the world can disappoint us, but not Jesus. He is our anchor. He grounds us. He makes us firm. He makes us secure. In Bible class, one of the questions was this: how often do we think about heaven or what is to come? You know, I think when we're talking about hope, it's not about things that we're hoping for. It's an uncertainty. But it's a complete change of our mindset. What is to come? Everything that we have here is going to be gone. But we have something much greater waiting for us than anything we experience here on this earth. Whether it's the challenges, whether it's the struggles that we're dealing with, or whether it's the happiest time in our life, we have something greater waiting for us. And it's the promise of eternal life. That's where our hope is. That's where true hope, a hope that's not just wishful thinking, but a sure and certain hope that one day we will experience the joy of our life when we're with Jesus for eternity. I pray that's where we find hope. When challenges and struggles come this way, sure. There are some things that riches, there are some things that people, there are some things the government, there's some things that we can do that help and aid in that process. But nothing gives us the sure and certain hope like Jesus Himself gives. May we hold on to that promise that Jesus is with us, that He's walking alongside of us, and He promises us forgiveness in life. Let's look at the Bible, or the point, the key virtue for today. It's hope. Would you say this with me? I can cope with the hardships of life and death because of the hope I have in Jesus Christ. Remember that. Repeat that often, that our hope is in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.